Welcome to the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life. Today we have a very special guest, professional soccer player Christina Birkenrode. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you can make it. You know, I think a lot of our fans that watch and listen to our podcast, they're obviously, for the most part, fans of the game. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, the women's side of things still growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about you give us like a little, you know, I want to go into your whole background eventually.
Yeah.
But before that, how about we just kind of start off with, you know, where you're at right now, who you are, and a little bit about the women's game, right? Like where you're playing and all that.
Yeah. So right out of college, I played for Orlando Pride, got drafted there, and played there for a season and a half, had a really cool professional experience. Unfortunately, wasn't getting too much playing time, so I wanted to grow as a player, and just talking to my teammates and whatnot, the answer was to go overseas. So I went to Norway. For my agent got me there for about 4 months, came back. It was a cool experience, but again, like, I don't know, the women's league there isn't like, I mean, it's really good, but just the professionalism of it, the financial stability isn't completely there. Just a lot different than the NWSL. So came back home and got an offer to play in Prague, Czech Republic, for the Czech league, which there was like 4 other Americans there. It sounded like a good...
On your team or in the league?
Just on my team.
Just on your team alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounded really ideal. Right. So I kind of just like took the risk and have been there. I've been there for the past year. Okay. And I've loved the experience. So
AC Sparta, right?
Yeah. AC Sparta Prague.
It's like the top team in the league, or traditionally at least, right?
Yeah. Traditionally top team. Yeah. The men's side of it is, you know, historical. They're super well known. We get the opportunity to play in Champions League, which is cool. So it's just a good setup. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you went from NWSL, right? You played at Orlando Pride for a little bit, and then you went, and now you played in Norway. Now you're in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Right? Out of those three, you know, defining kind of style? If you think about it in your head, you know, how can you define the three or individualize it? Like, you know, how is NWSL like versus, you know, the one in Norway versus the Czech Republic?
Yeah. NWSL,
by the way, has like huge levels too within it as well, right? Within like teams and locker rooms and stadiums.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think competitively, from top of the table to bottom of the table, NWSL is just
competitive,
so dominant.
Right.
But yeah, aspect of like professionalism. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have some teams that are just, you feel like royalty, and then you have some teams that just, you know, the facilities just aren't great.
Stadium,
right.
Yeah. Locker rooms are just like whatever, showers on.
Yeah.
How was Orlando?
Orlando was great. Good, yeah. Right? Orlando was definitely one of the top teams that like just treated their players so well. Right. So I was very fortunate to be there. It was kind of a disadvantage going from Orlando to going to a team in like northern Norway.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that the contrast of professionalism was just completely different. I think when I went to Norway, I realized that
you're not
like
in America.
Women's,
yeah,
I'm, one, I'm not in America. Yeah. Two, not all professional teams are professional.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, going to Norway made me realize, okay, this is about the journey. This is my journey. This isn't about being the absolute best soccer player in the world. You know, this is about figuring out more about who I am. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was just a complete 180. Like,
what about the level? Skill level?
Skill level, the Norwegian league is actually really good.
Okay.
Quite a few Americans go over there. They have a few foreigners. Again, from like the top of the table to the bottom of the table.
Larger disparity in skill.
Yeah, definitely.
How about the pay? Comparable, better, worse?
I'd say about the same.
It's about the same.
Maybe a little worse.
A little worse.
A little worse.
The same or a little worse than the U.S.
Yeah.
What about the Czech Republic?
So Czech crowns, actually, when you bring them back to America, they are, it's like nothing.
Right. Well, you're not even supposed to bring back like over 10K in U.S. money.
Yeah,
right,
so, right.
So we're not doing that. Anyways,
so we're not doing that. We're
not
doing that.
Money belt.
I wish there was an issue brought money back.
Yeah, yeah. What's 10,000 crowns?
10,000 crowns, it's not much.
Okay.
I think it's like probably like $1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the conversion rate, you're saying, is not that great.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But how is the, when you have the money there in the Czech
Republic,
it's,
I mean,
good.
It's definitely, I live well off on my own. Like,
okay.
It's really fun. It's good. Definitely have more means than I need. Right. But it's definitely not like I can't take care of a family. You know, I can't take care of anyone
else.
You're not
flush with cash out there by being a professional player.
Right.
Okay. But then you were saying earlier when we were chatting, you said like the season in the Czech Republic for the women's league, it's almost year round, right? You have a few months off, but it's year round.
Right.
So you're getting paid throughout the year.
Right. Okay, and
so
that's the difference. That's the difference. The NWSL goes for maybe like 7, at most 8 months if you make the tournament. And then you have however many more months like unpaid, which is, I remember like my first off season, I spent all my savings, you know, just on like living accommodation, food, just like living on my own without being paid.
And while you were staying in Orlando, you mean?
I actually came back to California.
So you came back, okay. But you have 4 months off, 5 months off.
Yeah.
You need to sustain a living, right?
Exactly.
So you're using all your savings during that time.
Exactly. Okay. And I was like coaching here and there, but like, you know, I also like hired trainers. I like, you know,
gotta take care of yourself as a professional athlete, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think that's the biggest difference between like the Czech league right now and NWSL is just I'm so thankful that even on like the months we have off, so we have 2 months off in a year for the league I'm in now, but we still get paid.
You still get paid during that month off.
So we get paid 12 months out of the year.
Oh, you do.
Which is amazing.
You're getting paid the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So monthly we don't make as much, but like accumulatively together, I think it evens out.
Right. Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you played at Cal State Fullerton, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, where did you grow up, though?
I grew up in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So my mom passed away when I was little. And so when I was about 8 years old, my dad moved us to North Carolina for 7 years. And then moved back to San Diego when I was 15. Mm-hmm. So San Diego, North Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, San Diego.
Okay. Yeah, and then tell us about your whole journey from high school to college, because it wasn't the natural path, right?
No.
It wasn't like a normal path. It wasn't like you played for the local club team out there, right? What's the big one that's down there?
Surf,
right?
Yeah, San Diego Surf. Yeah. They're all pretty competitive now, though.
Okay.
But, I definitely didn't have, like, the common, you know, play club soccer, get spotted, go to college.
Because you didn't even play club soccer, right?
No.
Okay.
I didn't play. I guess played for like a couple tournaments here and there because like I had high school teammates that just like, hey, like my club needs a player. Do you want to play? Mm-hmm. So I was like, sure. Yeah. So when I moved back from North Carolina back to San Diego as a freshman, everything was normal with my family. I ended up like making varsity freshman year. Everything was fine. I lived with my dad. It was perfect. And then unfortunately, going into sophomore year, my family kind of like, I don't know, fell apart, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. My dad turned to drugs, just like drugs got involved. Financial instability came across us, literally down to like zero, basically.
Wow. Okay.
Which is just like, I mean, it was just a flip. You know, all my life growing up, I had everything I wanted.
Up until then, it was pretty stable.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Childhood was stable.
Childhood was completely stable. I mean, I lost my mom, but like
that's tough, but
it is what it was.
But as far as your living conditions, it wasn't like up and down. It was pretty stable.
Right.
And then when you came back to San Diego in your high school year, that's when all this kind of unfortunate thing happened.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we couldn't pay rent anymore. My dad, like, I don't know, he failed drug tests. He couldn't keep a job. It was just like, it was sad. It was sad. It was all depression, you know, for my mom passing away. Mm-hmm. We couldn't pay rent anymore. We lost our apartment. We had a car. So we'd kind of just drive from like hotel to hotel all during my sophomore year. Unfortunately, like I was at such a low because like, I mean, for obvious reasons, but like, also comparing my life to like my teammates' lives, you know, they were all in stable households playing club. Everybody has their issues, but like it seemed from an outside perspective that everything was perfect for them and everything was falling apart for me.
Right.
So I continued to play soccer. Soccer has always been like my sanctuary, my outlet. But like as far as like playing club, I one, couldn't afford it. Two, didn't think I deserved that like treatment because I was like doing drugs on the side. I was doing drugs all the time. I was drinking all the time. I just like, I wasn't myself. I was letting my circumstance define who I was. And when in reality, you know, I would have handled things different, but I mean, no regrets, like it's fine. But yeah, so I, you know, I was just at such a low, just like such a low. And I kept going down that path, and I was playing soccer. I was like playing pickup soccer. I was playing high school soccer. And like, I was still excelling, but I wasn't playing with my full potential. And I was living with friends eventually. My dad actually moved back to North Carolina. He had to do his own thing. So like, I was just kind of like
just
left alone.
Yeah.
With like friends, okay. You know, finding like homes on Craigslist to live, like rent a room.
That's crazy. So I don't understand. So like, you're a junior at this time or?
So all that kind of went through like sophomore, junior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sophomore, junior year. Okay. So then how are you, if your dad's no longer, you know, in the area and you're just kind of on your own, how are you, you're just crashing at friends' places here and there?
So I eventually, so after like multiple hotels, multiple like just random places, I actually asked, my friend if I could live with her and her family permanently. You know, they said, yeah,
and they welcomed me. Were they aware of your situation at that time?
Yeah, completely aware. Wow. They were like, yeah, of course, like come live with us. I wish you asked us sooner. I mean, I just didn't. But again, I like was still kind of going, like, although I had a roof over my head, I was still kind of going down a path that like was just not deserving of like the future I wanted. And so, yeah, I mean, I think just like by the parents' love and just like me talking about it more and like being more open about what my situation really was at the time, I started to accept it more. I started to, you know, let my friends in more, be real with myself. And I don't know, there's just like so many situations that happen that are just like miracles. Like I started, like high school soccer was consistent, but then I started guest playing for teams more. And so when I started like excelling in those tournaments, I was like, okay, like maybe I can do this, you know. And college has always been my goal. I've always wanted to go to college. Like I knew I had the ability, I just like needed the confidence in myself. So yeah, so come senior year, I'm still living with this family. My best friend was named Janae, and it was her family, and they're just, you know, they're helping me with college applications. You know, and by this time, all my friends had already, like, committed to colleges. Okay. They committed, like, sophomore and junior year.
Right, because they're getting scouted, right?
Through the club team.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was senior year. It was, like, I actually had graduated already.
Okay.
Yeah, I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. I think the next weekend, I guest played for my friend's club team. It was, I don't think it's a club anymore, Nomads.
View. Okay.
Yeah, and so we were playing at UCSD down in San Diego at the college. And my coach, Brian McManus, you know, knew my story, knew everything about me, knew my potential. I had, like, played with Nomads a little bit here and there. And on the field next to us was Cal State Fullerton. And what's funny, it's such a crazy world. So Damien was coached by Brian when Damien was a little boy.
Damien's the Cal State Fullerton coach.
Yeah, Damien Brown. Yeah. So I think at the end of the game, I think I'd like done pretty well that game, but Brian went to go talk to Damien and was like, hey, D, like, I know this girl. She's right here. She doesn't have a college offer wrapped up, but she just graduated high school. If you take her, if you believe in her, like, if you give her a scholarship, because her financial situation isn't the best, like, she'll do good for your school. Like,
right,
I promise.
Right. Take a look at this girl, right?
Yeah.
Take a look at this kid. She has a lot of good potential, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so then you went for a tryout?
So, no tryout.
Okay.
So, Damien actually called me, like, a week later and was like, hey, like, do you want to come check out campus, basically? Like, I talked to Brian. I believe him. Like, Damien knew nothing about me.
Right.
Nothing about me. Just
going
like,
on the word of his former coach.
Yeah,
right. He trusts his judgment, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So I went up to the campus, and I loved
it.
He
was crazy excited at this point, though, right?
I mean, he was excited.
You were excited.
Oh, I was
but
so excited.
Yeah, you had no idea exactly what's going to happen or what's going on, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, I didn't even know what it meant to, like, the college like process, you know, because right. I never like, I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be realistic after a while because like literally went my 4 years without of high school without, you know, even like visiting any high school or any colleges or anything. Yeah.
So one thing I don't understand though is you did really well in high school, right?
Yeah.
And you were like leading the league and your team in a lot of different categories, right?
Yeah.
But then you're still not getting in contact with the colleges because you're not really part of, well, you're not really in the system, if you will, because like the club system.
Yeah, basically.
So even if you're like kicking butt on the field in high school, varsity, if you're not kind of in the system of club, then you just kind of fall through the cracks?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's super unfortunate, especially for like, I don't know, inner city kids that like can't afford club like me. Like it's expensive, you know, travel, anything. And so high school soccer is very, I wouldn't say it's looked down upon, but it's just not on anyone's radar.
Got it.
It's just, it's literally just a fun experience.
It's not where they're getting scouted, right?
Right. Got no. It.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate though.
Yeah. Right.
But hopefully that changes.
Okay. So then you went to the campus.
So I went to the campus. Yeah.
Super excited.
I loved it.
Fullerton. Okay.
You know, Damien offered me what he could. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a partial to full scholarship. Mm-hmm. And then said the next 3 years will be like taken care of. Mm-hmm. And he literally just went on word of mouth and offered me a scholarship right there. So I took it, and I'm pretty sure like I had like a week or 2 weeks back in San Diego, and then I was up for preseason. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in the dorms. I like had no idea who anybody was, like any of the other freshmen.
Yeah.
They didn't know who I was.
Sure.
And then my 4 years at Fullerton were just amazing.
You had a great college experience there?
Oh, yeah. Just, like, the amount of growth I did from freshman year to senior year. Freshman year was amazing. I was up for, like, rookie of the year. I don't know. That was the first time where I felt like I could actually, like, live my dreams, mm-hmm. you know? And that, I mean, my end goal was always to be, like, a professional soccer player. Mm-hmm. Like, I told my teachers that when I was in, like, second grade, you know?
Right.
And just like the fact that, you know, despite any hardships I went through, like my path was still exactly how I saw it when mm-hmm, I was a little girl.
Right.
You're
going down the journey. There's a lot of these bumps along the way, but you're still going in the direction that you were hoping for.
Exactly.
Right.
So I was like, wow, like all these miracles are happening. Like mm-hmm. all these, you know, despite any of the hardships, like I've, you know, not a straight line whatsoever, some curves, some bumps, everything, but like, my dreams are still being fulfilled.
Right.
So like, I'm going to keep going.
I'm still on the path.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, freshman year of college was amazing. Yeah. Up for like rookie of the year. Unfortunately, I lost it to someone else who got drafted actually. Mm-hmm.
So this is the rookie of the year for the league?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the league.
Like what, Big West? What is this?
Yeah, it's Big West.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I mean, the rest is just history. Like I feel like every year, like, I kind of worked harder and harder.
Okay. Okay, so now you're in college. You're having a great, your life has changed, right, for the better.
Oh, yeah.
You're playing freshman, sophomore. You played all 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So then at what point was it where you're able to start making these connections and have the dream of being a professional reality, right? Because a freshman year, you know, you're up, but you're not. It's not still tangible. It's not right there, right?
Right.
So what
Definitely
was the
not.
Next like? Did you get in contact with an agent by the time you were a junior year, senior? How did that next transition happen?
No, actually, like up to senior year, mm-hmm. I really had no idea how like the draft process worked.
Right.
I knew I wanted to play professionally, but I still didn't really know anybody else who played professionally or like.
Right. It's not like these girls from Cal State Fullerton that graduated before you were making pro.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I was really like,
you didn't talk to your coach about it? You're like,
no,
coach,
I definitely, but again, okay. like he didn't even have that many connections.
Right, he's not having all these. Yeah.
Right.
Right
he had some connections like overseas. I think he had one email from someone in the league. So like, after senior year, I emailed the coaches in the league. I just like, asked around, looked online.
Coaches in what league?
The NWSL.
So you just got a mailing list of all the coaches? And
so you can, like, Google it.
Sure.
You kind of just
look
online.
You're hustling and you're looking
online,
okay?
Yeah.
So you got the emails of the coaches, and what are you doing? You're sending them a profile?
I sent them my, profile, soccer mm-hmm. resume, mm-hmm. video. My email basically said, like, hey, my name is Christina Birkenrode. I'm a senior at Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
I just graduated. I have high ambitions to playing professionally in the NWSL. Here's this and this.
Right.
Hope to hear from you soon.
Okay.
You know,
and how was the response rate?
Yeah, no, they actually got back to me.
Okay, so all the coaches got back.
Most of them did. I think there was like one who didn't.
Okay,
But that was okay.
Okay, and you want to blow up their spot?
Yeah. No.
You don't? No.
You're
like,
no.
You never know, right? You don't want to burn any bridges.
I'm pretty sure
right?
it was.
She might end up maybe becoming like New the York U.S. Team, women's but... national team coach someday or something, right? You're like,
so many dreams, mm-hmm. but yeah. So
good response, and then what
good
was the
response?
Next? Yeah. So then, how'd you take it from there?
So then you kind of, it's just a waiting game. So you like sign up for the draft right after your season. Right. But then when you sign up, the draft is still like a couple months away. So it's literally just a waiting game, okay. you know? So by the time the draft came, about 2 weeks before, the professional coaches in the NWSL usually give the players a call if they're interested. So it's like a little interview.
Right.
So I got a call from three teams, which I was stoked about, but still there was something in me. Like, it's still not guaranteed.
Right.
It made me so happy that, and just, like, so grateful that they were even interested in me.
Three NWSL teams contacted you.
Yeah.
So what, is it because you were doing really well as a junior and senior where you're getting, you know, accolades? And
yeah.
So basically, your kind of resume spoke for itself. Is that
right? So it's all about the stats.
What if you hadn't contacted them, though? You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of hard to know, but were you already on their radar now that looking back based on your
I don't know if
stats?
I was on their radar. Okay. I really don't. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Because it's not like there's all these tons of scouts, right?
Right. I think emailing them helped my chances a bit. I mean, they obviously, you know, saw my email, saw my name.
Means you want
it. You know,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. When they looked on the stats sheet all over it, like, you know, just on, like, the College Board in America, my name probably stuck out just because they're like, oh, I saw this in an email.
Okay.
Here's this, you know? Okay. So I would assume that emailing did help, but I mean, I can't.
Okay, but stats-wise, where were you, you know, in your graduating class?
In my graduating class,
were you like,
I mean,
you know, were
some
you top
50 like,
in the nation in certain things, or what were you?
Yeah,
you know?
Let's see, it's kind of hard to remember now. Okay. In goals, I was top 25.
Okay.
In assists, I was top 40,
okay.
I believe.
Got
In game-winning goals, I was top 50.
Okay.
I mean, Big West isn't like the most challenging, but I mean, it's still D1. Yeah, it's still super competitive.
Right.
I think that's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then draft night comes.
Draft night comes.
Did you attend or no?
No, so I didn't go.
Okay.
I couldn't like afford a ticket or anything.
Where was that year?
It was in Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, draft day was so casual.
Right. Was it televised?
It was on YouTube.
It was on YouTube? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're watching YouTube at this time?
So I literally just woke up, made my coffee, just put my laptop on the table, was sitting on the couch in my pajamas, like so casual.
Okay. By yourself?
By myself, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I figured it'd be like, you know, a while. I don't know. The draft usually goes a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous days before the draft, my mind was going like, so confident in one direction, and then the next minute it was just like
up and down, basically
just such doubt, you know. I'm just like kind of sitting there drinking my coffee, watching the first round came. I didn't get picked. That was okay.
How many in the first round? So like 20,
10.
10?
Yeah, so it's 10.
It's really
four groups of 10.
Okay,
so it's 40 people in the country. And if you think about it, like there's hundreds and hundreds of D1 teams in America.
Right. Yeah, you could be
like
top 50 in the country and you're still not going to make it, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not in their mind, right?
Yeah,
top
exactly.
40. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was pretty crazy. And so, I remember like getting up. I think I made more coffee or made breakfast or something. The second round was going. Mm-hmm.
And were you super nervous at this time?
I was pretty nervous.
You were nervous. Okay.
I was getting there.
Okay. What were you hoping? So you just said you weren't disappointed that much that you weren't in the top 10, right?
Right.
But what were your expectations? You're like hoping for just anywhere?
I mean, I personally thought, because growing up, I had never been the like first round. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never thought I deserved any of like major, major success. Just, I don't know. I think like what I went through in high school just really like messed up my mentality for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like I lost years of practice.
Okay, got it. So it affected your confidence.
It did.
Right, yeah, you're not in the club system. So,
right.
So delayed your progress a little.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to go like third or fourth round.
Third or fourth round, okay.
But I mean, then there was another side of me. I was like, but my stats speak for themselves. You know, like I had great stats my senior year. I had good stats my junior year.
Okay.
So I was hoping it'd get me somewhere.
Okay. But you weren't like thinking, hey, I might not get drafted, and then preparing yourself just for that disappointment?
Oh, I was.
You were, okay.
Yeah, I was for sure.
Okay.
I was for sure. Okay. But I remember like, okay, second round, top four picks happened, and then this 15th pick of the second round, I remember exactly, actually. It was like, and the Orlando Pride, like, choose Christina Birkenrode.
That's awesome.
And once I heard my name, I just, like, I was just kind of quiet, you know? Okay. I just looked at the computer, and I was like, wait. And then my phone started blowing up with, like, my friends' text messages. And a minute later, like, Tom Cerbani, the head coach of the Orlando Pride, called me. And it was just so surreal, you know? I mean, that moment was something I was dreaming of and saw so perfectly since I was a little girl. And it just, like, I immediately reflected on everything I had gone through from, you know, playing pickup with older guys when I was, like, a 9-year-old girl. You know, it reminded me of, like, you know, moving back across the country to play in high school and work my hardest on the field despite any hardship that was going off the field. You know, it just, like, reminded me of my why, of my purpose. And although, like, all odds were against me, you know, to get drafted, I made it, you know? And that was, like, it was just the moment I saw so perfectly as a little girl. And so it was a dream come true. Like, it really was. And, like...
Did you have an agent at that time?
No, not okay. at that time.
And then your phone starts blowing up with all these random guys calling you saying, hey, you need representation?
I got a couple agents, yeah. But again, like, I felt like I still knew nothing about the process of, like, what even was going to happen after this.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really have an agent my first year at Orlando.
Okay.
I actually didn't get an agent until I went to Norway to go overseas. Because that was the first time where I was like, okay, I need to understand this contract. Right. I need to understand, like...
Navigation,
the money situation. Yeah.
Okay, well, with NWSL, do you need an agent in terms of... Or is it pretty straightforward where there isn't really any negotiating? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
It's straightforward. And you just have to... Either you sign it or you don't sign it.
Right,
what happens
right.
if you don't sign it? Then are you available for... you're not available for any other NWSL team is what I would imagine, right?
Right. So so teams have players' rights.
Right.
And
so they have to give it up.
They have to give it up.
Right.
Right. And unfortunately, there are circumstances where NWSL teams have players' rights, and they won't give it up, and so they can't go to any other team in the league,
and they're forced
to go overseas.
And they have to go overseas, right.
Right, right. Which is, I mean, unfortunate. You know, I strongly feel if a person, you know, if a player doesn't want to be at that team,
right.
don't hold their rights.
Right.
Especially, I mean, we don't make that much money. We don't have that much opportunity. Like,
it's not a
don't
bargaining,
hold us back.
It's not a bargaining chip, for, you know, right, from a player's
right.
perspective, necessarily.
Right.
It's like, hey, if circumstances or family doesn't work out, and I can't move all the way across the country or something,
right.
or right, and it just doesn't work out, but this other team is willing to... you know, sign me, then, you know, kind of let me, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So then you got signed, and so how did that process happen? Did you fly over there and you know, and visit the facilities and the administration? How did that work?
Yeah, so there was two other rookies that got drafted to Orlando Pride.
Okay.
So, and we were all from Southern California.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so we all flew out there. Mm-hmm.
Went straight to Disney World.
How'd you know? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, so we actually landed at night. We were both, like, pretty nervous, but, like, super excited just to get started.
All three of you guys met at the airport and kind of went together and kind of knew each other on the plane?
So two of us did.
Two of you,
me
okay.
and Danny Weatherhall, who's still a super good friend. And so we flew over together, landed at night. We had a driver pick us up, like, their driver pick us up, and it was our first, like, I don't know, professional experience,
yeah, yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
It was just so
surreal.
Usually
just like your friend or whatever, like, hey, waiting on the curb or whatever,
yeah,
right?
It's versus, like, Orlando Pride.
Yeah, yeah, with the sign. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah,
so we get there.
I haven't had that moment yet, so yeah.
I'll pick you up.
Yeah, we'll live through it.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, driving to our apartment. They, like, sent us photos of, like, this is where you'll be living. This is accommodation. This is everything. Super nice apartments, just, like, so professional, so, like, well run. Everything was perfect, so structured. Really made you feel like a professional,
right?
Which is, I mean, huge. And remember driving to our apartment and just like the sunset was unreal. Like it was just so beautiful. It was one of those moments where you're kind of just like, you kind of take a step back and you're like, okay, this is going to be good. Like I'm excited for this. And so we get there and then, you know, we claim our room. We get to know each other.
So that all three of you are in the same apartment?
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's a three-bedroom apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty
so
spacious.
So you jumped into the master bedroom right away?
Actually, no. The master bedroom was, like, a little too big for me.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, because it's like one master room and then two small ones, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so one of the other girls got the master bedroom.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the other girls did.
But you guys aren't paying rent, right?
No, they pay for us.
Okay.
Yeah, our living was covered.
Okay.
And so the next day we, like, meet some of our other teammates, like Tony Presley, Maddie Evans, a couple others, and we kind of just like go kick the ball, you know, get the jet lag out of our legs, and we go kick the ball around, go like drive around Orlando,
yeah.
Just a cool experience. And then training camp started, I think like maybe a week later or so,
yeah.
And yeah, no, it was definitely a big jump from Cal State Fullerton. I think for me, just the biggest thing was the speed of play.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's what they usually say. It's just faster, right?
Oh, so much faster.
All the girls are athletic, right? All the female, you know, they're all pros, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely. And the majority of them on Orlando had mm-hmm. so much experience because it was
right.
actually a first-year team.
Okay.
And so, you know, when they brought people over, they wanted, you know, obviously, like, experienced players, older players. So, there was a good, like, I learned so much. I think, so I was actually the last rookie to get signed. They kind of just sign you when, like, they feel like, so essentially, like, going there, it was a tryout.
Got it.
So even when you get drafted, you're not guaranteed a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you still have to try out.
You still have to
want
make the
you.
Team, right?
Right,
if you don't
right.
make the team and then you haven't signed the contract, then it's like you had a good 2-week stay in Orlando. But
exactly.
You're off.
But then, so yeah, at the end of the day, it's like a business. It's like a
job,
you know?
Yeah, it's a business, sure. Okay.
And so, yeah, it actually took me like a while to get, I think it took me 2 months to get really accustomed to the speed of play.
Okay. So for the 2 months you had not signed your contract yet?
No.
Oh, wow.
So
there was still a feeling of unsettledness then, right?
Oh, for
you,
sure.
You
for
were
sure.
well aware of this.
Though. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally. And
what took you so long? What was the problem?
Dude, again,
not
my confidence.
Oh, is your confidence?
Yeah,
it's
again.
Not the athleticism, right?
Right.
Because you're, what, like 5'10"?
Yeah.
You know, size-wise, you're good.
Yeah.
Speed and all that. So it was the confidence?
Yeah.
So your touch was just off or something or what?
Just like my technical abilities were fine. Mm-hmm. Like it was 100% my mind.
Okay.
My mind and just like I knew my abilities. I knew my potential.
Okay.
But it was like comparison almost. It was like I looked at players like Alex Morgan, I looked at like all these older players.
Was
and
she already there by this time?
I think she came like a week into training camp or something.
Okay,
yeah.
And so what? And she, those level of players,
just those level of players, yeah.
Were they just like blowing you away, or was
no,
just,
not skill wise? Yeah, it was just like
reputation and who they were. And
yeah,
like
it kind of just like threw me off a bit. Okay, yeah, it intimidated me a little bit, and so I wasn't playing my game.
Okay.
And then after a while, you know, I started to build up to like my game again. I really worked on my mentality. I started like meditating every day, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night. And really just, I mean, worked on my mentality again.
Okay.
And that's something throughout my entire career since I was a little girl, I've visualized and I've taken visualization very seriously. Because, my mental aspect is just the first thing that goes down, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, when they offered me a contract, I was like a kid at Disneyland. I was so happy. I was so thankful. And then... let's see, that's still first season. You know, I got in a few games. I feel like I did well. I don't think I did as well as I could have, but you know, towards the end of the season, I felt super confident.
Okay.
I felt in line with the team. I was making good friends, everything was perfect. So off season came around and I had never worked that hard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically on my strength, on like my technical abilities, everything.
You came back home for that?
Came back home, yeah, for a good 4 or 5 months. Stayed in San Diego, and then a bit up here. And just, like, worked every day. Went back to Orlando in March.
Mm-hmm.
and felt so confident. And I really felt like I deserved it. I did super well in the preseason games. I really just felt like that spot should have been mine.
Okay.
Or it could have been mine.
So
or
when
at
you're
least
saying
like,
that spot, you're talking about like a starting forward position?
Maybe like not starting consistently, okay. But just like...
Being in the rotation.
Being in the rotation, yeah. Because I knew who I was, like my right. teammates were. I respected them 100%.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt good about my game.
Right. At least, and being able to, because they're not, the entire squad's not traveling for away games, right?
Right.
So there's only extra, what, like 3, 4, 5 players? Or
I think there was like 2 or 3.
2 or 3 that they travel additionally that goes with the team.
Yeah.
So you wanted to at least be in that, right?
Yeah.
In that rotation, okay?
Definitely.
Okay. And how are you doing during the practices?
I was doing good.
Okay.
I was doing really well when I first got back. I was doing really well. I was doing well fitness-wise, scrimmage-wise, practice-wise, like everything. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like as the season went on, things kind of shifted from the first season. We got new players coming in.
Okay.
We got Marta. Mm-hmm. We just like there was a lot of trades, and so it just I wasn't getting the playing time I wanted.
How many players are on the squad, the full team, like during practice?
So Ross. Oh,
yeah.
So we have a lot of training players come in.
Okay.
So training, I think there's like 28.
Okay.
But so roster, there's like 23.
Okay. So rosters is 23, but all 23 are under contract.
Yeah.
So even though you're like the 22nd, 23rd player, you're under contract, but you're just not getting any PT
right.
on the games.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But then every athlete wants to, right? Even
yeah.
though you're getting paid, you still want to compete and play, right?
Exactly.
Not just during practice.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so this was actually the time Alex Morgan was in Lyon still.
Right, right.
And I think it was about like 4 months into season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew she was coming back and I was
right.
super excited for her. The team was doing well, actually. Mm-hmm. But I knew like as that forward position,
right.
I was the striker that was going to get like...
What?
Like out. Like they were going to...
You're the odd man out?
I was the odd man out.
Okay, so how many... So what were you guys running? Like a 4-4-2 or...
It switched up, but
okay.
yeah, at
like
the end it was
kinda?
Like a 4-4-2.
Okay, so basically
yeah.
two forwards,
yeah.
and you already have Marta occupying one spot.
Yeah, and then they had a bunch of good forwards.
Okay.
I mean, they just have
but
full offense.
So,
yeah.
But you were thinking that once Alex Morgan comes back, you're going to be the odd forward out and then
right.
Get
out of the rotation and like uh-huh. basically my contract would end too.
Got it.
So cool. I would have been that 24th player on
right.
the roster of 23.
Got it.
And it was unfortunate, but like, I mean, I completely understood the situation mm-hmm. and my coaches were very straight up about it.
Okay. So you were in the loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tom, you know, he was like, you're welcome to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
We know like your past, we know like everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to stay and continue to train with us. And
you just, okay, so then you would have been able to stay and train with the team.
Yeah.
You would have been able to still live in your housing,
right?
But you wouldn't have gotten received a salary,
right?
Is that the only difference?
Right.
Okay, it's a
and
big difference, but you're not receiving your salary,
right?
Okay.
Right. You know, and I don't know. It's just hard because, like, I needed maybe if I came from a family that had a lot of money, I would have stayed and just trained.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, I didn't, and so I had to like,
you need to
go
be, yeah.
somewhere that I would get money, that
okay.
I would get paid.
You weren't able to like maybe transfer to another NWSL team or, you know?
So I tried.
Mm-hmm.
You can put your name in
waiver
in like, yeah.
Okay.
It's basically like a little website thing
okay.
and, other teams can pick you. I
right.
think it's like within 7 days or something.
Yeah.
And if they don't pick you, then you're kind of just like a free agent. Like
right.
you're just, you know, out. They just
right.
kind of throw you out.
Right. They're going to pick up your rights, right?
As right.
Player,
right.
Player
right.
rights during that time. Yeah.
Right. And it was kind of an awkward time in the season. It was like mid-season, and so
yeah.
there weren't many trades going on. There
yeah.
weren't many, you know, empty roster spots.
Sure.
So, again, I understood the situation.
Right.
Damn,
Alex Morgan coming back in the middle of the season.
I know.
There's all these implications behind that I didn't realize as a fan just reading about these, you know, U.S.
Mm-hmm.
women's national team players that are playing abroad.
Yeah.
And then coming once they're... season ends, they come back and join NWSL, right? Which
yeah.
a lot of the players did, though.
Yeah, yeah. definitely.
Yeah,
a ton of
one.
Them did. Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, she brings fans to the stadium. Obviously, she's
right.
an amazing player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, completely
yeah.
understood the situation.
Yeah.
And so, But honestly, yeah, I was like a little embarrassed. Like my ego had been hurt a little bit. My pride had been crushed. So I was just like, I was at the point where I was like, okay, I need to get out. I need to get out. You know, I feel like this is the situation telling me like I need to do something else.
Okay.
So I was talking to some of the girls. I was talking to Ashlyn Harris. I was talking to Kaylin Kyle. And, you know, I basically was looking for guidance. I was like, you know what? Like, you know how I play. You know my style. You know, like, my mentality. Like, what do you think I should do? Like, basically reaching out for help.
Okay.
And they were like, dude, go overseas. You know, like, you're young. You are single. You know, you don't have anything, like, holding you back.
Right, right.
Yeah, go overseas. Go, like,
yeah, free in the wind.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And then...
yeah, the world is your oyster, right? You have all these options, right? Unlimited options
much.
For you. Right,
yeah,
right.
So they completely changed my perspective on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't feel stuck anymore.
Right.
You know, and so at that point, I was reaching out to different players on Orlando and just like, hey, do you guys know of agents?
Any
like,
contacts, kind of.
And so I got in touch with one agent, Nils Christensen, who's actually a very popular agent in the women's league.
Yeah, he sounds very Norwegian.
Yeah. I think he's.
He's definitely
Swedish,
from. He's from Scandinavia.
Yeah.
From Scandinavia, though, right?
Nils, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So I emailed him and I just told him my situation.
Okay.
I was like, I need to get out as fast as possible. Yeah. Like, please let me know what you have.
Yeah.
And he got back to me within like an hour.
Wow.
And I was like already so impressed. And, he was, you know, the next day he gave me like a list of teams. He was like, well, this team needs something, this team needs something. And all of a sudden, like all these other doors were opening and I didn't feel so stressed. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just like, I knew I wanted to go overseas at some point in my soccer career, but I didn't think it would happen like that.
So early.
Right. Okay. But again, I mean, throughout my whole life, I feel like I've had this plan and then all of a sudden, like life just throws a curveball and it's like, okay, you're still going to get to where you want to go.
Just not in the way that you
just
thought.
Just not in the way that I thought,
right.
You know?
Right. It's the way God works, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so... yeah, he gave me two teams, and then I kind of just, like, did some research on them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teams, the team I signed for, actually was willing to fly me out before actually going there.
Okay.
So that was, I thought it was really cool of them. I, like, respected them for sure, because I don't think, I mean, that's an expensive flight, you know?
As in willing to fly you out before signing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Willing to fly me out before signing just to like for
trial,
me to get a feel.
Right. See
right.
if you want it, right?
Right.
Other one would be like you have to sign and then we'll do it.
Right.
Okay.
And I had never been to Europe. I'd never been like out of America otherwise. So like I was kind of freaked out. I was kind of scared.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus you're like how old at that time?
Like 21.
Yeah.
21, 22.
Okay. Yeah. At that time, most people just go to Tijuana and then get drunk and then come back. And that's about their
honestly,
foreign, you know, abroad program.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And so ended up going to Norway on that trial. You know, I really liked how they treated me. It was like such a cool life experience. During that week stay I was there, they like, you know, took me to the mountains, took me on like this cool boat ride, and then like had training later that day. And it was just so different than anything I've ever experienced. Just the culture there.
Right.
The food and
so how long was that initial stay?
So it was a week.
Wow.
Yeah,
so you got a week to explore, travel, and get your feel.
Yep. And you know, training every day. And you know, at training it was a pretty good level. It was nothing like Orlando Pride and professionalism or just like
right, Orlando
player
Pride's
names.
They're one of the biggest clubs with overall fans and attendance and stadium, brand new stadium, right?
Definitely.
Right.
And so, you know, I was just asking the coach in Norway all these questions, like, I guess, like, tangible questions, like, how many fans you got?
Yep.
You know, what is this like? And I just realized at the end of my stay, like, okay, like, comparison kills. Just because you are at Orlando doesn't mean this experience is any less good for me, you know,
right.
It's any worse for me.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because what was the stadium like size and capacity, you know? Fans?
Yeah. So the men's stadium was beautiful.
Okay.
It was gorgeous. It was similar to the Orlando stadium, just like, I think it fit 50,000. Like, it was pretty 50, big.
50,000?
Or maybe it was, like, 30,000.
Okay, either
What's
way,
normal?
It's huge.
Yeah. Normal, it was a good stadium. Yeah.
MLS are in the 20, 30,000.
Okay. It was, I'm pretty sure it was, like 30,000.
Okay,
yeah.
That's huge, though. It wasn't like a college, you know, like the, because a lot of the women's game, right, it's like 5,000, which is like a good, right?
Yeah.
It won't appear like empty if 2,000-3,000 show up, right?
Yeah.
But this was large.
The men's stadium was okay. Huge.
And the women's did not play in that stadium, though.
No.
Okay.
No. I was so excited because that's where they brought me on my trial. Sure. That's where we trained. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
Right.
But no, we actually trained inside at this. It was like, it was kind of like this. It was kind of like a, just
indoor
like a
facility?
Indoor facility. Okay. Facility. Yeah. And I mean, it had some like, some seating, mm-hmm. had pretty weird lighting, dim lighting. But when we trained, we actually shared it with like five other like U15 mm-hmm. boys teams.
Okay.
It's just not glamorous.
Okay.
Like we're still training and stuff,
right.
And it's still a great practice.
I think that's the right word. It's not glamorous, right?
It's not glamorous whatsoever.
Right. Okay. But this is an indoor facility, and they have fields in there?
Yeah, so they have one big field.
One big turf or
turf
grass?
Field.
Turf field.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And so you're sharing that with other youth teams.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in a lot of European countries, mm-hmm. no matter the age group, like, boys get priority. Like, men get priority.
Got it.
And so that was kind of like a wake-up call too, going there and just like being put last.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
in the U.S. that wouldn't happen, right?
No.
Like if you're on Orlando Pride, they're not gonna put the youth boys team ahead in terms of priority on practice fields and things like that. Right? That
no.
would never happen.
I don't think the boys would ever be on our practice
fields.
Field, you know?
Right. Same accommodations, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was just a shift in perspective, and it was something to get used to.
Right.
It wasn't wrong. It wasn't right.
Yeah.
It wasn't
it's a culture shock.
Yeah, exactly.
Culture difference. Okay.
Exactly. And that was the first time I also lived alone. They got me my own apartment. Again, they paid like all accommodations on them, which was great.
Mm-hmm. How was that? That must have been a pretty shocking.
It was weird.
Right?
Yeah. No.
Old building, kind of small.
It was small.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't new. It wasn't old, though.
Right.
It was just, like, a pretty normal apartment.
Okay. So wasn't it, like, in a castle or anything then, right?
No. Okay. That's Prague. No,
okay.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But that was just, like, you know, the first 4 months in my life where I really, like, felt alone. I mean, the time difference from here was 9 hours.
Right.
During the winter in Norway, it was dark. I mean, the only time it was, like, light outside was from, like, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
And
outside
so
of that, it's dark.
It's dark, yeah, outside of that.
Okay.
And like, again, that was something to get used to coming from Southern California and Florida, you know?
Right.
So I think like emotionally, I was just in a weird place in in Norway. The league itself was really good. I think I grew a lot, but I don't think I was in the right mental state to really perform at my best again. And so at the end of my contract, I was just like, I'm going to go home.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you know?
Okay.
But I mean, looking back at it now, I definitely like grew so much just from even taking the risk and like going overseas in the first place.
Yeah.
So don't regret it at all. But after that, that was the first time where like, I really didn't have anything going for me, you know, like I came back from Norway, went home, stayed home for a bit, didn't know what I wanted. I like deep down knew I wanted to play, but I was pretty like depressed after Norway, just like getting accustomed to like the weather, the culture. It was just so different than what I was used to. And so, yeah, going home was just like, I needed to recenter myself and refocus. And then a month later, like that's when Prague happened.
So you had a month downtime and back home.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how did Prague happen? Your agent contacted you?
No. So I let him go just for, I don't know, personal reasons. We just weren't connecting, right? I wasn't comfortable in Norway. Just certain things we did, we weren't on the same page. So I was agentless. I was teamless.
Wow.
It was pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend, Megan, who plays at AC Sparta.
Mm.
And she played in Orlando. So we crossed paths. And when I went to Norway, she actually went to AC Sparta. She moved to Prague. And there were some other foreigners there too. When I got back to America, she reached out to me and said, hey, like, we just had a striker leave. Are you free? Like, what are you doing? What's your plan?
Wow, that's awesome.
And I was actually questioning it so much. I was like, I don't know if I want to go back to Europe, you know? Like, I don't know if I want to go back to overseas. That was quite a culture change. That was a shift in everything.
Okay.
And I was honestly just, like, scared of having the same experience as I did in Norway. And so, you know, we were kind of just, like, talking about it for the next couple weeks. And I eventually got in touch with Sparta's management. And I, you know, emailed them. I was like, hey, like, I'm friends with Megan. Are you guys looking for a player? And they immediately got back to me. I sent them my resume, sent them my video. And they were like, yeah, like, we want you. You don't have to come on trial. We'll sign you. We'll, like, fly you out, everything. So literally, again, like, a week later, I was on a plane going to Prague. Here we go again. And I get there in January. And, I mean, just the professionalism from, like, picking me up at the freeway, taking me to my flat. I have two other roommates, American roommates, which is so nice, living with other people. And, yeah, so it's just, like, been from there. I've loved it. Yeah.
And what was the – so what's the level like over there? Because now you're at one of the top teams in the country, right?
Yeah.
And you guys are competing in Champions League?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we won the double, which is, like, we won league last year and also won a separate tournament that
the cup.
Involves our league. Yeah,
right.
The cup.
Right. Like a UEFA – or, like, the UEFA Cup or whatever, domestic cup that they
yeah,
have,
domestic,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so that was a super cool experience in itself. And then when I got back to Prague in July, you know, we just long preseason, and then we ended up playing in Champions League, which was the coolest experience. So it's kind of like the College Cup when you, like, sit as a team and, like, pick your draw or, like, watch your draw.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. So we're just watching on, like, Champions League website. And we get Ajax in Amsterdam. That's, like, a legendary team. So we were all super excited because we felt like, you know, they're beatable. They're not, like, a Lyon or, like, anything like that. So we for sure, you know, we were confident. We were good. And the first round, so it's in two legs, so home and away. So we go to Amsterdam first. Just such a cool experience. I mean, just, like, knowing that I'm playing in Champions League is, like, any soccer player's dream.
Sure.
So yeah, we get to Amsterdam. We are in a super nice hotel. Like, we felt like royalty. We go to the Ajax's training facility and, you know, we train that evening. The next day we play. And unfortunately we ended up losing 2-0. I don't think we were playing our game necessarily. We had multiple opportunities right in front of goal to score. Unfortunately we didn't, and I think defensively we could have been a little more compact, but you know, that was something we were going to bring on to the next game.
Okay.
So we get home from Amsterdam back to Prague, and I think we have, like, 2 weeks in between when they come to us.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are still in season though, right? You're still
right,
playing
your, so we're still playing our
playing
games.
Your league games. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the Champions League game is on, what is it, like, in midweek?
Yeah,
it's like
it
on
was.
A Wednesday?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's on a Wednesday?
I think, I don't
Wednesday
remember what day.
It's kind of like the men's game where they have their still, the, but then it's like midweek instead
yeah,
of
Yeah, I remember
a
it being
game.
Midweek. Okay. I just, like, don't remember what day specifically.
Okay. So when that's happening, though, how focused are you guys on your league games? Because you guys are just running over teams during your league, right? So you guys are just kind of more focused on that upcoming second leg of the Champions League game that's coming up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty hard to stay focused on our league games, because we are all just trying to prepare for the Champions League game.
Okay. And you guys get paid for that too, right? You guys, like, there's a purse, right, if you win, right?
If we win.
Yeah, if you win, right?
Yeah.
It's not as if it, yeah, so
I feel like when you're playing women's soccer, like, every battle counts, you know.
Yeah, right.
So
there's a financial incentive.
Yeah, there really is.
Okay.
There really is.
Okay, so how did that home game go?
So it was so good at first. Mm-hmm. We had such a big audience. Mm-hmm. It was in the men's stadium, which was so fun. Okay.
What was the crowd like? How many people are we talking that come to the champion? Is it a larger crowd for the Champions League matches?
For sure, larger crowd. Okay. Yeah, I think it was like 5,000.
Okay.
5,000.
So it's a pretty good
turnout.
Yeah, turnout, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Okay.
We knew what we had to work on. You know, we knew defensively we had to stay compact. We knew we had to keep attacking. And because they scored two at home, mm-hmm. we had to score.
Sure. Because even if you score like 1-0, you'll lose, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It has to be at least 2-0.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, we were playing our game. The game started. We were just offensively just pressing.
Okay.
And we were going at goal so much, and I ended up scoring, I think, in like the 20th minute or something. And just after that, it was just, you know, we knew we had it. We were like, all right, let's keep going. Let's keep getting these goals. We were combining so well. Like, we felt like so confident in our own game. And then at halftime, you know, I don't know what happened. Just the second half, we came out, and I think defensively we just turned off for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in 2 minutes, they end up scoring two goals.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, I think after that, we just lost all hope.
Yeah.
We we kept fighting, obviously.
Yeah, the only
but
way you
like,
can win at that point, you have to win like 4-2 or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're scoring an away, and that counts. That's the tiebreaker, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience in Champions League. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience in all. I do think we could have beat them, and I am hopefully looking forward to playing again next year in Champions League.
So that was your first experience in Champions League?
That was my first experience.
That was the first match?
Yeah.
First matchup? Okay.
First round. So unfortunately we got out. Slavia, it's really good for our league. They're actually still in it. They're in the eight.
Okay.
So
they're still in it right now?
They're still in it, okay. Yeah. So when we get back to Prague, I think they have a game in like 2 weeks or something.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm stoked for them.
Right.
Jealous, but
right. It's kind of a double-edged sword because they're your rivals, but at the same time they give respect to your mm-hmm. domestic league as well, right?
Exactly.
Go, right?
It just looks good on us, you know.
Yeah,
like, hopefully it just brings more foreigners to that league mm-hmm. in the future, so it gets a little more competitive from top to bottom, you know.
Do the domestic players in the league, the Czech Republic, do they get along with the foreigners, or is there like a chip on their shoulder? You know what I mean?
So
how's that dynamic?
So it's good. I feel like our team is very, very friendly. Mm-hmm. All the Czech girls are pretty eager, or not all of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them can't speak English whatsoever.
Okay.
But a lot of them are very like open to learning and want to learn.
Right.
And we just have like a good communication. I think the foreigners on our team, the Americans on Sparta, are like just very like good open people that want to also get to know the Czech culture.
Mm-hmm.
The Czech girls definitely like don't have a chip on their shoulder, but I can imagine that it gets pretty annoying at practice when like we have to explain a drill in English, like re-explain everything in English. I'm sure it like slows down the pace a little bit.
Sure. Is it the coach that's bilingual, or do you guys have an interpreter on the side that's, you know?
So the coach actually only speaks Czech, unfortunately. So the girls usually translate for us.
Got it.
Yeah, but if we don't understand, we usually just either go to the end of the line watch,
right.
Or like we're like, hey, like mm-hmm. we need to explain this more because like I don't get it, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily they're pretty good about like really explaining to us and like taking time to do so.
Right. Is there a designated player type situation out there or no? So are there reserved spots that are limited for foreign players like you guys?
Yeah, so I think you can have max 5 foreigners.
Mm.
So we filled our cap.
And what are those usually positions? Are they like the attacking forwards? It's like the Chinese basketball league where, you know, each of the foreign players are centers and point guards.
So, yeah, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like is that just for fun or just
no,
like
that's, they're the ones that are tall and huge and athletic, right?
Okay. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not all the Chinese players are going to become like 7-foot athletic, you know, African Americans that just dunk on everybody.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. Just all that power.
Yeah.
No, so like there's not like a designated anything. I do think they primarily try to get offensive players. Mm-hmm. But we actually have one girl that plays center back and outside back. Okay. So
the other ones are offensive oriented though?
Yeah.
They're all offensive players?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would imagine, I'm pretty sure designated players are usually offensive, but like also it just depends what like that team needs. Mm-hmm. So it all depends.
So how is the lifestyle out there? In Prague.
Lifestyle's really cool. So it's a very like, it's a very progressive city. It's growing culturally and everything. Prague is a very like, I don't know, like hip crowd. Mm-hmm. Like very artsy, very culturally enthusiastic. They love the men's team. I feel like everybody loves like AC Sparta, the men's team. Mm-hmm. They like the women's team too, but most people don't like know it exists.
Are the uniforms
really
the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Okay.
So then
wearing your uniform, is there a confusion? They just think you're like a fan of the men's team or something at times?
Basically.
And then you tell them, no, I play on the women's team?
Yeah. And then they usually get pretty like psyched about it.
They're like,
oh, wow. Uh-huh. Like, but yeah, it's cool. So it's a, I mean, that city itself has like so much history. Mm-hmm. Just from, you know, what happened mm-hmm. in World War II, I think, with Hitler and stuff. But it's really fun. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of museums. The coffee shop culture, I think, is like the best in the world.
Okay. Coffee or hashish?
I don't know.
Coffee? Is it coffee or
it's
is
coffee.
It like... Oh, okay.
What is hashish?
You know, like when you go to like Amsterdam, the coffee shops, they're actually smoking in there. And so it's
culture. No.
No?
Okay. No. Nah.
Okay.
That'd be cool though. That would be cool.
Okay.
I do want to go visit Amsterdam again, like off mm-hmm. soccer though.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, just like also, just like how Prague eats and like the health aspect of it is so big. I mean, there's so many health food stores. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like all the restaurants are like health conscious, okay. Which is so cool.
So are you going out with your roommates all the time and exploring the city together? Is that how you guys normally do it? Or you,
yeah. So I think at first, like when we first got there, we did so more so. Mm-hmm. My day routine. So I actually have two other jobs there too, just
because
we had so much time. Like we have so much time.
Okay.
We train for 2 hours a day.
Okay.
And then.
This is in the morning?
In the evening. And then
you train in the evening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
wow.
most of the girls have jobs, like actual
daytime
jobs.
Yeah.
Like real jobs.
Okay.
And so Tuesday and Thursdays, we actually have a morning training from 9 to 10. Mm-hmm. And then Monday, Tuesday, training from 5 to 7 as well. Mm-hmm. Wednesdays, we have off Thursday, Friday, 5 to 7 as well.
Okay.
And then games on the weekend.
Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what kind of jobs are you guys doing? What are your jobs, first of all?
Yeah, so I nanny this one little Czech boy, and he's so cute. That's like,
so
I think once or twice.
Au pair was a live-in, so you're not an au pair, right? So you
no.
just go there.
I literally just go there, mm-hmm. go to his house. Like his mom is usually there.
Okay.
I just like hang out with them, really.
Okay. How old is he?
He's 2.
Okay.
I think his mom just wants him to hear more English.
Okay.
Most of the parents are doing that nowadays in Prague.
So she's asking you to just speak English to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do
that.
She
doesn't want your broken Czech?
No. I've tried speaking Czech to her and she's like, stop. Just stop. And then on the side, I actually work for, so it's called Prague English Football School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like basically coaching little kids. You just go to like all these different primary schools. Mm-hmm. And you coach them for like a couple hours a day.
In English. Okay, so basically you're utilizing your English to as a nanny,
yeah.
kind of partially, but then you're also like an English teacher, kind of.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Supplementing your income.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Able to make savings out there, unlike NWSL where you have that 5 months off kind of deal, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I have a pretty full schedule, but I also, you know, I want to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I have to do them.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And I mean, like, I still, even besides that, I still have so much time to like work on myself and like do things to like take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's cool. I really feel like I've established like an actual life over there. But yeah, me and my friends do go out in the city quite a bit and just like explore, walk around.
Right.
It's so fun. I definitely advise like everyone to go there.
Really?
Yeah.
So then when you guys hang out, you guys stand out like athletes, or you guys just blend in?
No, I think we just blend in.
You guys blend in?
I mean, there are some places that we definitely stand out. Like if we just walk in like an empty coffee shop, it's like five, you know, pretty like athletic looking girls, strong personalities. But I mean, if we're just like walking down the road, there's so many tourists there. There's like so many different kinds of people.
Yeah.
That we don't really stand out that much. I wish we did, but
what about you know, what do we have to look forward to in the future? You know, what are your next upcoming plans, and what are you looking to do in the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, so I still have 6 months on my contract for Sparta, which I'm looking forward to just finishing the season strong. And after that, honestly, it's pretty unknown. I've wanted to take, like, I love individual coaching and I love health and I love passing on my knowledge of like my journey and my mentality and whatnot, and I just hope that like I hope to like share my story with people in places and hopefully just like inspire the youth, you know. So I think, you know, I think I just want to like come back to America and like share my experiences with people and just like, you know, some motivational speaking here and there. Just continue to coach, continue to learn the game. Maybe I'll get contracted somewhere else.
How far along do you anticipate your career, you know? What are you thinking?
I think it's just till it doesn't feel right anymore.
Okay.
Till, you know, another opportunity comes up.
In the foreseeable future, you're still going to continue to play professionally, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely keeping my options open. Not sure where. I would love to land in America again.
What's one of the dream teams? Let's visualize this and see if we can make it happen. What are you thinking in terms of, do you want to come back to NWSL?
Yeah, I do. I would love to. I mean, Orlando Pride would be amazing again. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
I think Portland would be amazing. I even thought, like, I mean, Houston would be really cool too. Really, at this point, I'm not going to be picky. I feel like you can't really be too picky.
I feel like
you're
picking these top teams with huge, great fan culture too, right?
I know.
Those three teams are definitely stand out in that sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think altogether, like, I think every year, like, the fan participation is growing. So that's amazing. And I hope it continues to do so. But yeah, I don't know where the future will take me, but I know it'll be good. And I know, like, where I am, like, I'm meant to be where I am. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck and thank you so much for coming here and sharing us about your life and your journey thus far.
Thank you for having me.
Wish you the best of luck in the future as well.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Thanks guys for joining us on the Urban Pitch podcast, The Beautiful Game of Life.